Begin 8 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continued the discussion of the previous daf, and that is, we had a contradiction, a theory in two different brises regarding if a new oven that was heated up with the completion of the oven is when you go ahead and fire it up. It was done with fuel that was forbidden with the Sur Hanoah, for example, if it was used with shells of Arlo or Kash of Klayim. There was a machlekes if it's chadash of a new oven, if it has to be yutas, that has to be totally destroyed, or yutzan, it's enough to cool it down. The Gemara first attempted to say that it was dependent on the machlekes Rebbe and Rabbanan, regarding, as we find with bread, that they say, if let's say you heat up an oven and you're baking bread with that forbidden fuel, Rebbe said the bread is going to be asr, because now that so to speak, that isr is inside the bread, and that's forbidden. And the Rabbanan said, no, that fuel was already gone, and it's now what's inside is ain ben mamish, nothing of substance actually in the bread, and one could have enough in the bread. So the Gemara wanted to say that would be the machlokes in the ovens. According to the opinion of Rabbanan, you could just let it cool down. According to the opinion of Rebbe, that it went into the walls are now asr. So the Gemara said, yes, we know that the isr goes into the walls, but when you're baking bread in the future, why would we have to destroy the oven? It's what's called zevazeh garim. We never find anywhere clearly that Rebbe says that, yes, all right, he's saying that there is somewhat of isser in the walls of the oven. But that is only going to be baking the bread that's going to be later baked, only together with the fuel that will then be heter fuel, will be other firewood that will be kosher. And therefore, since it's zevazeh garim, one of heter, one of isser that's going to be causing the baking of the bread, maybe it's going to be mutter and you wouldn't have to break it. So therefore, the Gemara says we don't have a clear source of who would be saying that a new oven would have to be broken. So Shigmaru said, it's Rebbe Eliezer. He's of the opinion that even though it's zebezeh garim, even though it's not only the isser that's completing it, it's together with heter, but since one of the elements is isser, it's going to be asr. So which the Gemara attempted to try to bring a proof, which was on the top of this Amud, a continuation of the previous daf, to show that based on the bias interpretation of Rebbe Eliezer's opinion elsewhere, that we see he says Zeb is a Gram Asr. To which the Gemara says, no. Who said the interpretation was like Abaya? Maybe it's based on the principle that he says over there of Achar Achar Naniba. It's the last one that's the defining factor. And therefore the Gemara says, it's not clear where we find Rebbe Eliezer says that Zeb is a Gram is Asr. And that's where our Gemara continues to find the source of Rebbe Eliezer, that he says Zeb is a Gram Asr, to say that he is the Tana of the Brisa that argues on the other one that says Yutzan. He says that Yutats, that it can't just be cooled down, it has to be broken, because even though it's only going to be a part of the cause of the future breads, that's enough to make it Asr. So the Gemara says, El Rebbe Eliezer Datsi Asher. Rather, the source where we find it, Rebbe Eliezer says Zeb is a Gram is Asr, is where he finds his opinion regarding the wood from the Asherah tree, which is a tree that served as Avodah Zarah, as an idol. Tanan, like, learn the Mishnah Masechet Avodah Zarah. Notel himeno, if they took from the Asherah tree, etzim, wood, asurim bahano. There, that type of wood is also bahano, because it's obviously from, it's like a piece of Avodah Zarah. Hisig ben Asatan, now if they went and they took this wood, and they used it as firewood, they heated up an oven with the wood of an Asherah. So chadash yutatz, a new oven has to be broken. Yashan yutz, in the old oven, that only has to be cooled down because the completion of the oven was already completed a long time ago. Now you're just firing it up to use this fuel to bake whatever you want inside of it. Therefore, that type of oven would not have to be broken. It could just be cooled down. Afa baya sapas, if you bake bread with this firewood from that Asherah tree, again, which is Asabahana, then the bread is Asabahana because that's going into the bread itself. Now there's Iser in the bread. So let's say that bread that was baked with the firewood of the Asherah tree gets mixed with other breads, and then those other ones get mixed with other breads. Kul Nasur Ma'ana, they're all going to be Asabahana, but since there's some type of a mixture, doesn't make a difference how far that continues to go, it's all going to be Asabahana. He says, you could throw away the pleasure, in other words, the worth of pleasure that you're getting from the firewood of the Asherah tree, you could throw that liyam ha-melech, to the Yam HaMelech. Amrullah, they said to him, there's no redemption of Avodah Zarah. You can't say, you know, there's a certain amount of that the flour costs and the firewood costs. And you're saying, so take away that amount of money that you would be deriving pleasure from that Isra Nov, that's a share that how much firewood costs, and throw that to the Yam HaMelech, so you won't be having enough from that. They say you do. That's not a form that could be done for Avodah Zarah. You can't redeem it in that sense. However, one thing we do see is that as long as you don't throw, let's say, that pleasure worth into the Yam HaMelech, then Ibn Rabbi Eliezer would agree to the Tanakhama regarding all the halachas Tanakhama said. He's only arguing to say that there's a way around it by throwing it into the Yam HaMelech, that worth. But if you didn't, then he would agree by a new oven that it would be broken and that an old one would be cooled down, and regarding the halacha that the bread would be asr. But one thing we do see is that since he says that by a new oven it would have to be broken. Obviously, he holds Zev is a Gairim is Aser, and therefore that seems to be a clear source for Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Zev is a Gairim is Aser, and he's the one that says a Chadash Yutatz. The other Brisa was like those who argue in Rabbi Eliezer and those who go with him in that Brisa, in that Mishnah Masechta Zabei Dezer, because everyone there is saying Zev is a Gairim is Aser. He's just saying that there is a way of pidgin, but obviously without the pidgin, it would be Aser, and that's because he holds Zev is a Gairim is Aser. To which the Gemara asks, Eimad Shamat Leil Rabbi Eliezer. You're right, that seems to be a source where he's saying Zev is a Gairim is Aser, that by a new oven, you're going to have to break it. Obviously, based on the principle of Zev is a Gairim is Aser, because the later fuel will be mutter, and therefore you have to go ahead and break it. But maybe that's only by the Zara de Chame Yisurei. That's again talking about the wood from an Asherah tree, which is Avodah Zarah itself. Now, Avodah Zarah is a very stringent Aser, and therefore that's where he says that Zev is a Gairim is going to be Aser. However, Bishar Isur and Shabbat Torah, which is really what the brises we were talking about in the previous daf, which the one that said that you have to break it, if it was a new oven that was heated up with even Kalayim or Arla, Mishamalei, how could we say that he's the Tana of that brisa that's saying that a new oven would have to be broken, even if it's the shells of Arla or if it's the straw of Kalayim? But that's not necessarily the case. He would hold Zev as a Gairim as Aser even in those cases. Maybe only says that by Avodah Zarah, which are very strange in Isser. So, but then the Gemara responds, no, you can't say this difference. Elaim Kain, if it's like you're asking to say, whoa, how do you know that he is the Tana? Maybe he differentiates between Avodah Zarah, only there he says Zev as a Gairim as Aser, but other Yisrael he wouldn't. Then Amad Tirmaya, then who are we going to say is the Tana that Bryce that we mentioned in the previous stuff, that even if it's heated with the shells of Arla, that you're going to have to break the new oven? In other words, you have to say that since there's no other Tana that we find that says clearly Zev is a Gairim is Aser, besides Rabbi Eliezer and those who argue with him in this Mishnah, in Masechet Avodah Zarah, but they both agree to the same principle, Zev is a Gairim is Aser. And therefore, since we see a Stam Mishnah that says even by other Yisurim, Zev is a Gairim is Aser, you have to say it's Rabbi Eliezer and that he doesn't differentiate between Avodah Zarah and other Yisurim. But void, moreover, the Gemara says, a clear proof is Hatani Behedya. We have a Brisa that says explicitly, V'chein ha Rabbi Eliezer Oyser b'chol Yisur in Shabbat Torah. And that we find Rabbi Eliezer says that this problem of heating up the new oven with something that's Aser is not just by Avodah Zarah, but even by Chol Yisur in Shabbat Torah. So clearly he is the Tana that says Zev is a Gairim is Aser. And again, that resolves the contradiction in the previous daf, that one Brisa says a new oven has to be broken, one says to just cool down, is based on this Machlekes of Zev is a Gairim Aser or not. So now, Abaye says, he concludes as follows. He says, now, we had mentioned these two brises, and in those two brises, as we said in the introduction, was talking about this machlekes between Rebbe and Rabbanon in the bread and the oven that's being baked with these things that are Yisur Hanah. So Abaye says, Imtim Tzolayim, if you want to say that the brise that we mentioned on the previous daf, that the way it would be explained is that Rebbe that says that it's forbidden, the bread is forbidden, as we said, because the Isur Hanah of the firewood are going inside the bread itself, that in truthfully he would hold that the oven would also become Aser. And that's despite of the fact, as we had mentioned in the previous tab, that the oven itself is not being eaten. So therefore, what's the point of saying that the oven is going to be Aser and you have to break it? Why would you have to break it? It's because Zev is a Gairim Aser, because he holds that, as we just explained in Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, that both the oven, although that's only one component of the future bread that's being baked, but and the firewood is the other one, which is Mutter. However, since both of them are a causation for the new product, that would make it Aser if one of them is Aser. And therefore, the ratio of the brice that we mentioned before of Arla is Rebbe, although the Gemara in the previous Davit said, well, we don't find that. You're right, we don't have a clear source that says Rebbe would hold Zeb as a Gairim as Aser, but if you would want to say that he would say the same principle he says by bread that it becomes Aser, so too the oven becomes Aser and it have to be broken based on the principle of Zeb as a Gairim as Aser, then Rebbe Hani Rebbe Eliezer, so then Rebbe is like Rebbe Eliezer, and there's no more questions we would ask. We would know his opinion regarding all the future things that we're going to discuss in a few lines, because we know already he holds like Rebbe Eliezer, Zeb as a Gairim is Aser. And then we could say that he is the town of that brisa that says Chadash Yutatz. However, the Imtim Tzolayim, however, if you want to say that Rebbe holds Zev is a Gairim is Mutter, that if it's going to be both of them, then it would be Mutter. And the ratio of that brisa, which says that a new oven, you know, that brisa in the previous staff that the Rebbe and the Rabban argue regarding the bread, the beginning of the brisa says that the new oven has to be broken. That's not Rebbe. Rather, that's Rebbe Eliezer, as our Gemara had just found a proof that Rebbe Eliezer is the one that holds Zev is a Gairim is Aser, but Rebbe would hold his Mutter. But the Hachal, over here by the bread, where Rebbe says that it's Aser, why is that? That's mishum diyeshvach eitzim bepasu. That's because, as we had explained, because the benefit of the firewood goes into the bread, and therefore it comes out when you're eating the bread. You're having hanah from the actual iser that was caused by one cause, which was the cause of the firewood, which was aser. But by a new oven, if it cooled down, that would be enough, according to Rabbi, because he holds zebes agarim is mutter. If that's the case, then, however, these bowls and these cups and these flasks that are made out of earthenware that was fired up by the atzei asher, by those things which are forbidden to have an off from, asiri. There, even Rebbe would agree that it's going to be asir. And the reason being is because, as we said regarding the bread, where the benefit of the firewood goes into the product that's being caused, and this pleasure is not with a second cause. It's through the first cause that now you're going to be utilizing the cup, the bowl, the flask, and therefore it's not like the case of the tana, like the oven, where you're not using the oven per se, you're using it to bake bread. And by the bread, it's not only going to be having pleasure in the bread until there's a second cause. Again, there has to be firewood and the oven. There were these two causes, that would be mutter. However, even Rebbe would agree, again, that's what we're saying, that if he would say like Rebbe Eliezer, that would be the end. We know what he would hold. But now if we say he does not hold like Rebbe Eliezer, but rather Zebezegarim is mutter, we're saying, however, he would agree that by the bowls and the cups and the flasks, that they would be aser, because it's not like the oven, because here it's you're using the cup. It's the utilization of the thing that became aser b'hana with one cause of atzei asher, whereas by the oven, you're not actually using the oven. You're using the bread that's being baked in the oven, and that is not being baked just by the oven. It's also being baked by the future fuel, which is going to be kosher fuel. And therefore, in this arena, he doesn't argue on Rebbe Eliezer. He would agree to him that although Zebes HaGarim is mutter, but he would be aser, and that essentially is obviously what Rebbe Eliezer would hold, because he even holds Zebes HaGarim is aser. So, ki pligi, when do they argue that Rebbe says, no, that the only thing that's going to be aser is the bread, which is, as he explained in the Brisa before, that the bread becomes aser. However, betana ukedera, regarding an oven and a pot, then lamandam as zevezegarim aser, according to Rebbe Eliezer, who he says zevezegarim is aser, that is where he's going to hold that it's aser, it's going to become aser, because again, it's being caused by two different things, but still that zevezegarim is aser. Lamandam as zevezegarim is mutter, according to Rebbe, he holds zevezegarim is mutter, as we're saying in this imtim tolaima, then shari, then it would be permitted to have hana from the, you wouldn't have to break the oven or the pot. Because these two things, you don't actually use the thing itself. You don't drink from it. You don't use it like a cup. Rather, you use it to create something else. Now, that next thing that's being created is being done through a zeh v'zeh, through something mutter and aser, that would be mutter. Ikadam, let's say a different version. So according to the first version that we said in Rebbe, where he argues on Eliezer regarding, in that Imtim Tzolayma, that he argues and that he says, Zevezegarim is mutter, however, he would agree that bread's going to be aser, because there's only one cause, and that cause is iser. He would agree, similarly, that would be also by the cases of the kaisis and the karis and tzleichis, because there's also just one cause, which is that whatever caused it to become completed, now you're going to be using the actual item itself. However, where he does argue on Rebbe Eliezer would be regarding the case of Tana and Kedera, where there it's going to be a case of Zevezegarim, and in this Imtim Tzolayma, he argues, and the reason why it's two causes is because you're not using the actual walls of the oven or of the pot. You're using the byproduct of that, which is a byproduct of two things, the walls of the oven and the pot, and of the firewood. However, the Ikadam, they don't say a different version. And they say, Afilaman do Amma Zevezegarim is mutter. That even according to the one who, again, in this Imtim Tzolayma, was saying that Rebbe, who says Zevezegarim, if there's two causes, one this or one hat, it's going to be mutter. However, Kedera, a pot, which was completed when it was new with firewood of that was aser, it would be asura. And the reason is, although we just explained that it's considered a case of Zevezegarim, which should be mutter, however, the Gemara is going to explain that it's not Zevezegarim. The Hakibla Bishula, because it accepts the thing that's being cooked, and that is there's a certain pleasure you're having from the utility of the pot, that it's being utilized with the pot without any other cause, Mikmei Deniten Eitzim De Terah, before the permitted firewood is placed over there. That is, whereas by an oven where you don't put in the bread until after it was fired up, and therefore it already has a gram of heter, it already has something else, a causation that is heter, therefore over there it's going to be Zevezegarim, which ultimately will be mutter. But by the pot, this second version says that Rebbe would agree it's aser because it's not Zevezegarim, it really is only one gram of sometime. When you put in the thing before you in the pot, before you heat up the fire, which is what they do in a kedera, whereas by a tanner, is they only put in after it's already heated up, and that's why it's going to be a case of Zevezegarim, which is mutter. So Amar Rabbi Yisrael Amar Yehuda Mishmul. Taner shehisikui beklipe arlan, oven that's heated with shells of arlan. This is basically similar to the brisa that was mentioned in the previous daf, but the Gemara is going to ask a question on this version. So you have an oven that's heated up with the shells of arloi bekashin shel klai kerem, or with the straw of klayim of a vineyard. So halacha is chadash yutatz, a new oven has to be broken, yashan yutzan, the old one has to be cooled down. Off, as we explained, the difference is because one was completed with that, and therefore it would have the iser inside of it. The other one was already completed, so it's just to be cooled down. Off by a pas, if you bake bread with it, Rebbe Yom HaPas Muteres, Rebbe says the bread is mutter. V'chom Ayim, the Chom say HaPas Asura. The Chom say the bread is aser. So this is the same exactly as the Brice we had mentioned in the previous daf, but one difference, which is what the Gemara asks. V'atani, but we had learned in the Brice on the previous daf, Ipcha, exactly the opposite. Rebbe was the one that said the bread is aser, and the Chum they were the one that said that the bread is mutter. So the Gemara gives two answers. Either Shmuel Ipchatani, either Shmuel's version was the opposite. He didn't learn like that. His version was that Rebbe was the one that said it's mutter, and Chum said it's aser. The boy say more, or if you want, you could say that truthfully, that Shmuel had also learned his version of the Brisa as we had said in the previous daf. Now Rebbe was the one that said it's aser, and the Rabbanon was the one that said it's mutter. But he wanted to switch it around so that people should not go after the Rabbim, after the Chamim, to say that the bread is going to be mutter. And that is because B'Alma generally, by regular machloikis, and where the Chacham that argue, the others that argue in Rebbe, Ksaver Shmuel, then Shmuel holds that even though that halacha k'Rebbe mechaveiroi, although we know there's a klal, general rule that the halacha is like Rebbe, when he argues on his friend, in other words, on one person, an individual, v'loy mechaveirov, however, we do not pass him like Rebbe when he argues on the Rabbim, on many. However, ubaha, in this case, Shmuel held that halacha is going to follow Rebbe. That afila mechaveir, it's going to be even that if the many are arguing on him. And that's why v'savir, he thought to himself, asne ipcha, I'm going to teach the version, the opposite, so that the opinion that saying it's forbidden will be the Rabbanan, so that people will go ahead and establish the halacha that it's usher based on the opinion of Rabbanan, and people will follow that, because we always go after the Rabbin, even with Rebbe, because we don't go like him, kechaveirav, only kechaveiroi. And he said, because I'm going to say that Rebbe was the yachid, and he's the one that's saying it's us, they're not going to believe me, because we do not follow Rebbe melakim chaveirav. And that's why he switched it around, because although his version was like that, Brisa, but he wanted the halacha to be aser, and it was Rebbe that was an individual saying it's aser, but they wouldn't pass like him. That's why he said that Rabban was the one that said that it's aser. So now the Gemara continues quoting from the Brisa that we mentioned in the previous daf, that said, and we just had quoted the first half now in Shmuel, who he switched around the two different versions, either because his version was different or because he wanted the halacha to be a certain way. So the Brisa continued and said, Bishla al gabi gecholim, if the bread was baked on coals, everyone agrees, even Rebbe, who said that if you bake the bread with the Atzei Asherah, or the Atzei of Klayim, or Atzei of Arla, it's going to be Aser. Here he agrees that the bread is going to be Mutter, because there the Iser has already been eliminated. There's no more Iser here, Be'en. So therefore, now that it's coals, it's going to be considered not as if the Arla and the Klayim, that Mamashas are not going into it. So even Rebbe is going to agree that the bread is going to be Mutter. So Amar, some take out the word Amar, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Chiya bar Asher, Rabbi Yechanan, Chad Amar, there's this machlekes between these two different Amarok opinions. In this halacha, where everyone's going to agree that the bread's going to be mutter, even if it's being cooked on coals, because it's as if it's not there, it's not significant enough to say that the pas is going to be usher based on the isra going into it. So Chad Amar 1 says, Lo yishonu el gecholam oimemos. We only said this by coals that are going out. They're on its way out. And that type of coals, we say that, okay, so that's not the etzim iser, and therefore the bread's going to be mutter even according to Rabbi. But coals that are flaming, that as Rashi explains, the term loichashos means whispering. It's like it looks like they're shaking as if they're whispering one to another. Then asurin, then according to Rabbi, it would be awesome, because that would be significant enough as if the arla, the shell of arla is still there. It's only when it's already going out, extinguishing, then it's going to be mutter. But in such a case, it would be awesome. But Chatam, another Amara says, no, even if the coals are flaming, it's still going to be mutter, because you don't have the actual shell of the arla there. It's coals already, and therefore it's going to be mutter. So which the Gemara asks, Bishlam and Mandam Aloicha Shaisas, and according to the version that says that it's only when they're going out, but if they're flaming hot, then it's going to be us to the bread. And the reason is Mishum the Yeshvach Eitzim Epas, as Rebbe had said his Svara in the Braisa, because you're going to have benefit from the firewood in the bread, because the coals, which is basically a transformation of the forbidden fuel, is still there. Elamanda amar afalechesh es mutaris, but according to the one that says that even if it's flaming hot the coals, it's going to be mutter. Pass to usser. The yeshvach eitzim bepas la Rebbe. Heich mishkaches lei. Rebbe had said that the bread that's being baked with the shells of the arla or the kash of the klayim is going to be usser because you have the shvach of the eitzim, you have the benefit of the firewood that's going into the bread. How do you have such a case? When it starts getting hot to heat up, it turns into coals. And therefore, any status of coals you're saying is not going to be a problem. So how do you ever have the halach of bread being asr? So Amar Papa Kishavuka Kenegdai. When the flame is opposite the bread, then we're saying that the firewood is heating up by the opening of the oven. That would be considered as if the isr is actually there, and that would be causing to go ahead and create a shvach of eitzim in the bread. But if it's in coals, even if the coals are flaming, that would be mutter, and that is as we said, because it's not actually as if the isser is there going at the bread. It's only if the flame is there. So we continue on to Amud Beis, but then the Gemara asks on that version that's saying that. So you're saying that it's not a problem even if it's loichashes. It's only a problem when the flame is actually there. So then mechalal. So the inference is drabban de pligalel. The rabban that argue on Rebbe, that is, and they say that the bread is going to be mutter. So sharu afilik kishavuka kenegdai. So it sounds like they're going to be permitting the bread even if the flame is opposite the bread itself. But then the question is, ele eitzim di surah, then the question is regarding firewood that is forbidden, which they're usr bahana. L'rabban and heichim ishkachas lohu. How can you ever have a conceptual case of that isr? In other words, let's say we're talking about the shells of arla. Now I have enough of them. Well, what are they good for? They're only good for fuel. And the problem is, if you're using it as fuel, or let's say atzei asherah, again, you're not consuming it. You're just going to have anah from it. What type of anah? You can use it as fuel. But the second, even if they're flaming, not even coals or contrabanda, they argue in Rebbe, because Rebbe, who says that it's usr, is only when it's flaming. In other words, when it's not coals yet. So the Rabban who argues says it's mutter, it's even when it's just, even if it's there, just flaming, it's still going to be mutter. So when is it a problem of ever having isur hanah of things like atzei asherah? The Shigemar answers, Amar bar Chama bishar shifa. When you're making a bench out of them or a footstool, where there the hana is when it's be'en, it's there, it's physically there, and you're literally using that item, which is asba hana. But you're right. But the hana of fuel, where the hana is only after it got burnt up or even as it's burning, that's not going to be a problem according to the opinion of the Rabbana. It has to be when it's actually there, the item itself. That's when the Rabbana would say that the isur hana is going to be a problem. So on this topic, the Gemara brings related. They ask the following question. Tanur shehesiku ba'atzei hektish. Regarding an oven that was fueled with the firewood of hektish. Vafa bayapas, and bread was baked with this through the fuel of the firewood of hektish. The Rabbanan deshor bekamais. According to the Rabbanan's opinion, they say it's permitted in that first halacha, which we had explained in the Brice in the previous daf, of Arla or of Klayim, where they say that the bread's going to be mutter. My, what would be the halacha if it's not firewood of Arla and Klayim, but rather firewood of Hektish? So Amalei, he responded. Rav Chisda said, Hapas asur, the bread is going to be asur, according to Pin Rabbanan. So he asked, Uma ben zula Arla, what's the difference? Why by Arla do they say it's mutter? And here by Hektish, you're going to say it's asur. It seems to be the same logic that you should say over there, where it's not, you're not actually using the thing that's forbidden, you're getting the bread, which the fuel went and baked it and put it together into bread, but you're not, there's no mamoshes there, so why by the firewood of hektish is it going to be aser? So, Amar Rava, hachi hashta, what do you mean, can you compare arla to hektish to say, oh, if they say arla is mutter, so hektish should also be mutter? Arla betelu b'masayim. Arla, although arla is stringent, but it is batel when it has a ratio of 200 of heter to 1 of iser. Therefore, it's not so chomer when the isser is not going to be there anymore, and when it's all burnt up, as we said, that when the fire is coming out, even when it's flaming, but it's, you're not getting the actual isser in the bread. There, the rabbanah are saying that it's mutter. However, hekdish, afilo be'elav loy batal. Hekdish, even in 1,000, it's not batal. And that's why even after the flame, even if it's just almost nothing, almost just like the reach of the fuel is going into the bread, that would be enough to say it's also be'hekdish. So don't ask, oh, by arla they say it's mutter. That's because there is somewhat of a bittel by arla, at least 200 to 1. But be'hekdish, even 1,000 wouldn't be batal. There they would agree to Rebbe that the bread would be awesome. But so therefore, the Rabbi says, what type of a question is this? Elam, rather, what Rabbi says, ikashilei hakasha. If you want to ask a question, this is the question that should be asked. How can you say that the bread is going to be usher, as he had answered him, because of the fuel of the firewood of hekdesh is going into the bread? But v'haloi mo'al hamasik, the one who used the firewood of hekdesh for fuel, he did what's called me'il. He misappropriated the usage of hekdesh items. Now, someone that does me'ilah is chayav for a carbon of me'ilah. And anything that doesn't have a kedushas haguf, there's two types of kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash. There's intrinsic sanctity, which the actual item has sanctity. And then there's a thing called kedushas adamim that only has monetary sanctity, but not the actual intrinsic item having kedusha. So things that don't have kedushas haguf, for example, an animal that's not a carbon or a vessel that's not a kli sharis, the halacha is, v'chol heichad demol hamasik, those types of items, that wherever the one that used it, he used it as fuel, as firewood, and he misappropriated through doing that, nafik lehu lechulin, then it goes out and it loses its status of hekdesh, and now it goes out to an unconsecrated status, as we learn in Mishnah Masechtas Me'ilah on the Futesan Beis, it says, there is no double Me'ilah by things that are holy, only by a behema and by kli sharis. In other words, you can't do Me'ilah and then go ahead and do me'ilah again. But all other things, as we said, that once you did the first me'ilah, first misappropriation, it's no more hekdesh, it loses sanctity, it goes down to chulin. And that is because we learned that me'ilah is only when you change it, you transform it from its kedusha, and you lower it to its sanctity down to chulin. Therefore, the question of the Gemara is that Rav is saying that you could ask is, why are you saying that the bread's going to be usher if you heat it up with the fuel of the firewood of hekdesh? But before you put the bread, as we explained, by ovens, you only put it once the fuel is already burning hot, and that's why it's not also just from the oven itself. So before you put the bread there, the fuel, the firewood, was already heated up, and therefore it already was transformed through the me'ilah, through the misappropriation of it, into chulin. So therefore, how could the bread be asr? Because you're using atzei hekdesh, and you're right, there's no bittel in atzei hekdesh. I can understand that it's different than arla, but it's no more hekdesh by the time I use it. It's already chulin. Through the act of me'ilah, it went down to chulin. So what's the problem with the bread? So Amar Papa, Rav Papa says, you're right, but here we're talking about it's firewood of shlam, which what that means is that they had designated the monetary worth of this firewood to be sold, to be used as a carbon shlam. And therefore, since it has the sanctity of a carbon shlam is what's called kachim kalim, which is a lower degree of sanctity than other types of kabbans like chatas. And kachim kalim don't have me'ilah, because it's not called, quote, kachi Hashem, because the entire carbon is under the ownership of the owner. And the Hashem, so to speak, hekdesh, only has something in the carbon only once the blood is sprayed on the Mizbeach, then Hekdesh, Hashem, the Mizbeach, gets the Imur and gets the sacrificial parts which are placed on the Mizbeach. So there really is no Me'ilah by a carbon shlam. And similarly, in this case of the wood, which is already designated for the carbon shlam, similarly, there's no Me'ilah that applies to it. However, there is a Isser to go ahead and use it. But however, regarding Me'ilah, there is no Me'ilah as we just explained and is brought down in Masechta's Me'ilah. So as the Gemara is going to explain in a moment exactly, so how do we understand this? So again, we're talking about a certain type of firewood, that there's no me'ilah regarding it, because it was designated for the utility of a carbon shlam, which has no me'ilah because it's not kach Hashem, it's totally owned by the owner. Now, valiv de Behuda, I mean, it's going according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Dama, that he says, hektish p'shoigig mischal. The only way me'ilah could be committed in the hektish item is if it's done inadvertently. However, it's done intentionally. There's no committed act of me'ilah. That is, if someone has enough of it intentionally, it's not going to be downgraded, that's what it means, to a status of chulin. It doesn't misappropriate it down now to a chulin status. And why is? B'mezah my time alloy. What's the reason if someone does it intentionally, it doesn't downgrade it to a chulin status. The reason is, kivin delav bar me'ilahu. Since there is no me'ila in it, and that's because the pasuk, when it talks about it, uses the term bishgaga inadvertently. So le'nafik l'chulin, therefore, that's why it doesn't get downgraded to a chulin status. So based on Yehuda's opinion, now we can understand why this firewood is not going to be downgraded to a chulin status, and therefore the bread is going to be asa. Because shlomim nami, this firewood, which has the status of a common shlomim, it also over there, kivin delav bar me'ila ninu, since there is no me'ila regarding shlomim, and that is, as Rashi says, the shogig of a shlomim is like a mezid of other hektish, because there is no me'ila, as we explained, because it's not kodshe Hashem, because it's totally owned by the owner. So lo yinafke l'chulin, therefore it does not get removed to a chulin status, even through the fact that it's being, so to speak, misappropriated, that does not downgrade it because there's no halacha me'ila that apply to it. And therefore, Rashi says, truthfully, we could have answered, as Rabbi Yehuda's opinion itself says, that here we're talking about mezid, and therefore that would have answered the question. Therefore, there's no me'ila, even not firewood for kachim, and that's why it's not downgraded to chulin, it retains its sanctity, and that's why the bread is going to be baked without say hektash and biyasir. However, Rashi says that since the term hisikur, that it was fired, sounds like whether it was done inadvertently or intentionally, and therefore since we could say it in such a case of shayyi and mezid, if we say it's tomach lamim, that's why we established that way. But however, that answers the question that was asked, well, how can you go ahead and have atzei hektash in the first place, it's yatz l'chulin, it's not yatz l'chulin, because it's talking about shlamim, which does not have me'ila, to downgrade it to chulin. But now the Gemara asks, on the assumption of Rava, which he had used to ask the question, that he says, oh, you want to know what would be a question, this is the question, but the Gemara asks, v'chol heicha demal ha-masik, is it really true that any time that the one who's firing the firewood and he misappropriates it, the nafki l'chulin goes out to chulin, and that was why you asked your question, to say how can it's not really getting Hana, a firewood of hektish, because already chulin. Then we answer, no, it's talking about a case of shlamim, which it would be, it would retain its kedusha. But is that klal really true? But Vaitani learned, Nabraisa, kol hanisrafin, all the things, all the animals that have to be burnt. And that's learned at the end of the last parak in Masechtas Temura that explains that certain things that have to be burnt, certain things that are nikvar and that have to be buried. But however, regarding those things that have to be burnt, a foreign mutter, the ashes, once it's burnt, of these things which are aser, which have to be burnt, the ashes are going to be permitted. Chutz mi atzei asher, except for the wood of an asherah tree, where even after it's burnt, it's going to be aser. Ve'efer hektish lo'olam aser, and the ashes of hektish will always be aser. And the Rashi says, the reason why we use the terminology just by hektish, that it will always be aser, whereas by asherah we did not use the term lo'olam, is because by asherah, there is a possibility of it becoming mutter. In the case of where the idol worshiper himself goes ahead and he burns it and he's mevatlet, then it would be muta. However, by hektish, there is no bittel whatsoever, and therefore it's l'olam asa. But one thing we have, the question is now, why is it, are we saying, that the ashes of hektish is always asr? What do you mean? You just told me that once it gets utilized, once it gets misappropriated, so then it gets downgraded to a status of heter. And therefore, why are we saying the ashes of hektish are always going to be aser? It's not true. Once you're masik and you're ma'al, now it's yatz l'chulin, so then there should be mutter. So Amar Rav Bachama, he says, you're right. If it was done through me'ila, if it was misappropriated and it was fired up, it would be going out to chulin. When we say that the ashes of hektish will always be aser, is if it happens by itself. K'gon shenafla d'leika me'aleha ba'asei hektish, if a fire just happened upon to the firewood, by itself, no one actually went and lit the fire. The leka in the nimel, where there's no person that's misappropriating it, that's where we said that hektish will always be us, because there's nothing that's removing it from its sanctity, and therefore even the ashes are going to be us. Another teretz the Gemara gives of Shemai Amar, he says, "Ba'isin shetu'un geniza." When we said that lo'olam aser, the firewood's always going to be aser, even after it turns into ashes, that's a reference to things that have to be concealed, have to be buried. And that's a reference to the ashes of the Trumas Hadeshin, which there is no me'ilah when it's fired up. And that is once the pile of ashes on the Mizbeach itself, they're from all the kabbans that are burnt there. So every morning they would take the Trumas Hadeshin, the elevation of the ashes, and bring it to the side of Mizbeach, one shovelful. So that shovelful is going to be Asa B'Hanah, even once it's in the ashes, but that's just there, where there's no me'ilah that was committing it. and that is we have special psukim that say it's asbana even afterwards, and that's what we say la'olam asa. It's not like in the brisa it says a pasuk of a yikra in reference to the truma sadesh and b'samoy that it should be placed near the mizbech, which says benachas, placing means not throwing, has to be gently. The samay kula it has to be placed. That's a reference to all of it. The samay and also placing it shleifaz, it shouldn't be sprayed around, shouldn't be dispersed. So that is, we see clearly from the psukim that there, even the ashes are going to be aser. However, yes, of course, if Me'ilu was committed to it, then the assumption that Rav had made would be true, and it would be yatzel l'chum. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah from the Chaf Aleph and Aleph regarding the halacha of bir chametz. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ain't bir v'chul. Rabbi Yehuda argued on the chacham. He says the only way that one can eliminate the chametz in Erev Pesach has to be through the process of burning. So the Gemara brings a brisa that elaborates on this discussion. Tanya learned the brisa. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ein bir chametz elishrei." The only way you could eliminate chametz is by burning it. V'hadin naisin, he says, and I'll prove to you through logic, through halacha, and that is uman naisir she'ein bal yirah bal yimatz. If we find by naisir, which are karbanos left over from the designated times that they're allowed to be eaten, where once it's left over, there's no active prohibition of that it should not be seen, it shouldn't be found. Yet toin sreifa, but once it goes after the time that it's permitted, it has to be burnt. So chametz sheyeshnu b'bal yirah b'bal yimatzeh, chametz, not only that it's past its designated time, but there's even going to be two negative prohibitions of that it shouldn't be seen and shouldn't be found. Like koshkin shetoin sreifa, so obviously when it passes its designated time, for sure it has to be in the process of burning, as we find by Neisser. So I'm alive, so the Chum responded to him. Kol din sha'ata dun, anytime you're using a halachic process, that chilasi lahachmer, that although the beginning is going to be, it's going to sound like it sounds like you're trying to do, it's going to sound like a stringency, because you're taking something that you're saying, oh, this is a very stringent thing, chametz, this is bal yiroa, bal yimatzeh, and therefore you're coming to bring another stringency. Like you're saying, wait a second, if chametz needs, that has bal yiroa, bal yimatzeh, and noiser is much lower, it doesn't have bal yiroa, bal yimatzeh, it has to be burned, so definitely the chumrah of burning has to apply over here. However, the ultimate end will be a leniency, and that is because this stringency is not, that you're adding on will be causing a leniency, then enoy din, that is not a logical halachic process that can be utilized, because the din is only supposed to be teaching a stringency, and you're using it as a leniency, as the Gemara explains the logic, the opinion of the Chacham. And they say, if leimotze eitzim l'sarfai, let's say the person does not find firewood to use the process of burning. So he should be sitting and not doing anything. In other words, Rashi says, although in the first paragraph of Yud Beis and Beis, the Gemara did say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he agrees that during the time of bir chametz, that then once the time already reaches, you can eliminate it with anything, and you don't have to use just firewood. However, it's still going to be a leniency. There's someone that wants to leave with a caravan or within 30 days from before Pesach, where there is a chiyuv for the person to do bir chametz. However, if he doesn't have firewood to burn it with, so he's just going to sit there and not do the bir, that's what comes out that, according to you, that's the only way you could eliminate it, but I don't have firewood, so then I'm not going to do it. But the Torah says, tashbisus oimi b'teichem, you should eliminate the leaven from your house. That's b'chol davashat yach lashbis. That's in any way, in any fashion, that you could be mashbis and you could eliminate it. That's what you have to do. But based on your kavachimer, it's actually not just being a stringency of that, oh, you have to use sreifa, it's a leniency, because now when you don't have the firewood, you're not going to do anything, and that's going to create a leniency for someone that's leaving within 30 days of Pesach, and he can't do it because he doesn't have firewood, so he's not going to do the elimination in any certain way, and that's going to be a leniency. So, Chaz Rabbi Yehuda v'dan d'nachas, Rabbi Yehuda acquiesced to that, and he went and he created a different halachic process, not a kavachimim, but rather a gzeres shava, which is a comparison of the similar halachas, that would work whether as a leniency or whether as a stringency, and that's because a gzeres hakasim is what's called imashivin alav. You don't ask questions on it, that to say, oh, the beginning is a stringency, the end is a leniency, and therefore, that would apply even though it's going to be a leniency, right, in the case of where within 30 days he's not going to go eliminate it because he can't burn it if he doesn't have firewood. So therefore, he's not using kavachem, but he's using gzereshav, and that is neiser asabachila, if we find by neiser, again, a carbon left over its designated time, which is forbidden to eat. The chametz asabachila, and chametz is forbidden to eat. Now, ma neiser b'sreifa, so just like from a gzereshav, of comparing the different halachas, just like over there, when you're not allowed to eat it, you have to burn it. Av chametz b'sreifa, so too here by chametz, where you're not allowed to eat it, you have to burn it. So Amar Lai, they said to him, what do you mean? Nevel techich. We could disprove your comparison from the lachas of a nevela, of a carcass, of a dead animal. Shastru b'chila. Ve'entur esreifa. We know that a nevela is forbidden to be eaten, but you don't have to burn it. So therefore, don't prove from the fact that you don't have to eat something that you have to burn it. So Amar Lahem, he said, Hefresh, wait a second, there's a big difference. Neiser asr b'achila u'bahana. Neiser is not only just asr b'achila, it's also asr b'hana. And v'chametz asr b'achila b'hana. And so to chametz is also asr b'achila and hana and pleasure. Whereas by nevela, that's not the case. And therefore, ma neiser turns shreifa. So just like neiser has to be burnt. So av chametz turns shreifa. So the chametz, which shares those two properties with neiser, also has to be burnt. And Malay, they said to him, shara niskol yechiach. The ox that gored three times, that has to be killed, that has to be stoned, that could disprove your logic because sha'asr b'achil b'ana, v'ena turn shreifa, the shara niskol is not only that it's not allowed to be eaten, you know, I'll derive any pleasure from it, yet it does not have to be burnt. So therefore, how could you prove based on that criteria that by chametz it has to be burnt? So Amalehem Hefesh, he said, no, there's still a difference. Because Neisr Asa B'Achil, it's forbidden to be eaten, U'Bahana, and pleasure, and V'Anash Karas, and there's a punishment of Karas if one violates this. V'Chametz Asa B'Achil, U'Bahana, V'Anash Karas. Whereas by V'Shar and Hiskel does not have that. So therefore, Ma Neisr B'Shreif, Chametz B'Shreif, so therefore, just like we find by Neisr has to be burned, so too by Chametz has to be burned. So Amalehem again, they responded to him. The fats of the ox that's supposed to be stoned, that could disprove your logic. Because she'asr b'achila, that fat of the shor haniskel cannot be eaten. U'bano, it's forbidden to have a pleasure mit. The onish karis, and there's an onish of karis on that chaylev. Ve'ein turn sreifa, and it doesn't have to be burnt. So therefore, again, you don't have any proof from neiser. So we continue on to the top of chav chesem and alf. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda agreed that you can't prove it because it was disproven. So chaz Rabbi Yehuda v'dan edin achra. So he learned it in a different form. And he said, Neiser yeshne b'bal toisiru. Neiser has an application of that you're not allowed to leave it past its designated time, which is unique just for Neiser. The chametz b'bal toisiru, and the only one that shares that, is chametz that also cannot be left past its designated time, because then you have lo yirah and lo yimatzeh. And so you can't ask all the other questions of all these other cases because they don't have this similarity that only these two have, which would apply the gezeirah shavah to the two of them. And therefore, ma neiser b'sreifa, av chametz b'sreifa. So therefore, just like by neiser it's burnt, so too by chametz, once it's over on bal teisiru, it has to be burnt. So I'm alive. So the chum responded to him, ashim tole, an ashim that's on a suffix. That is when someone violates a chiyuv karis. Doubtfully, he doesn't know. For example, let's say he had chaylev and shuman in front of him. One is forbidden fats, one is kosher fats. And he inadvertently went and ate one of them, and he doesn't know which one he ate. So then he has to bring an ashim tali, which is an ashim to make an atonement for this doubtful issa that he did. Now the halacha is, if that is slaughtered, and there's a psul in that ashim tali, or there was from that ashim tali was left over. There's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan at the end of the last parak in Masechtas Tumah. The Rabbi Yehuda holds that has to be buried. The Rabbanan hold that has to be burnt. So they said to him regarding the ashim tali and the chatas so'if habal a suffik, regarding the chatas bird that also comes on the suffik, which that's in a different type of situation, not when you have a suffik karis as what ashim tali is, but if a woman miscarried. And not sure if she miscarried, a child, was it halachically the status of a child or not a child, so she's not allowed to eat kachim, because maybe she had a child, until she brings a kapar. So the carbon oil, she has to bring oil in the chatas. The carbon oil is brought on condition, and she says, if I gave birth, so then this is for my obligation, and if not, so this is an nedava. But the problem is the chatas cannot be brought as a nedava. So the chatas is allowed to be brought out of doubt. And there's no problematic issue of bringing chul into the azar because maybe it's not really carbon, maybe she didn't give birth. Because from Sukkim, Sechdes Nazar, and Perek Misha Amar, and Daf Chavtes Menalv, we learn that one is allowed to bring such a carbon. However, you're not allowed to eat that carbon, the Chatas Saif, because maybe truthfully it was chulin, and one of the processes in preparing that Chatas Saif is not with regular shechita, it's done with malika, where the kohen goes out and he takes his thumb and he chops off the neck. That would, regarding chulin, make it into nevela. It's only regarding the kachim of the Chatas Saif that is permitted. And therefore, it's not allowed to be eaten. Now, there's machloek between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, the last paragraph of Masechtas Tumah, regarding this Chatas Saif, that's bala safik, so you're not allowed to eat it. What do we do with it? So the Tanakam, the Chama say that it's burnt. Rabbi Yehuda says that you just throw it into the canal. So therefore, they answered him, L'dvarecho yechichu. Based on your own opinions, we're going to disprove what you just said. Because Shehein b'bal teisiru, these karbanis, the Ashim Tali, the Chatz Oiva Bala Safik, there's an Isra of Neisra regarding them too. She'anu oimim b'sreifa, that we say that yes, Regarding that nicer, we our halacha was just as quoted from Masechta Semurim. We say it should be burnt, but va'ata im bikvura, you say specifically regarding the Ashram Toloi, that Rabbi Huda, you say that it should be buried. Now that's in spite of the fact that nicer from that was cut from the Ashram Toloi is usher to be eaten, and there's an issa hana, and there's a punishment of karas, and it is what you just last ended off with your logic of baltei siru. Yet in spite of that, it's not being burnt. It's going to be buried based on your own shita. L'shitascha. If you went like our opinion, it wouldn't be difficult on you. But you yourself say it's buried. And that disproves your logic of comparing the halacha of chametz, that it has to be burnt, from nisa, that it has to be burnt, because it shears baltei siru. But I'll tell you another one that has everything we said and baltei siru. And according to your opinion, it's not burnt, but rather it's buried. And that's the nisa of Ashram Toloi. So the Gemara says, Shasig Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda was silent. He was disproved by his own opinion. So the Gemara gives three different quotes regarding this, what happened. Amar Rav Yosef, Hayna Dama Incha, this is what people say. That kapa, that is the spoon, the dish, the chata, that was carved out by Nagara, by the craftsman, Begava Nisrif, with that dish itself, he burns his tongue and his palate, Chardala, with mustard, and to say, by his own dish, when he's eating, he gets burnt. So to hear also by his own opinion that he says that Ashram Toloi is buried and not burnt, he disproved his own opinion, learning up from Ezer Shava, Chametz from Nesim. Similarly, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Sadana, the craftsman that made the shackles that are there for the to tie up those who are being imprisoned, Besadne Yasim, if he's sitting in his own shackles, Midvil Yadei, from his own handiwork, Mishtalim, he's getting paid back his reward. That is when he's caught as a ganav, as a thief, and now he's being held in these shackles. Now the shackle maker is being paid back with his own work. Finally, Rav Amar, Giyara, the one who makes arrows, Begirai Makdal, if he's killed with the arrow, Midvil Yedei Mishtalim, he's being paid back by his own handiwork. And these are different analogies to show about what happened to Rabbi Yehuda, that he was almost there, he had the Gzeirah Shavah, and according to the opinion of those who argue in him, they would have agreed, because they say that Ashram Toloi has to be burnt, and therefore you only find by Neisra and Chametz that have Baltei Sira that are burnt, and nothing else, and therefore you would know that Chametz has to be burnt. And that I said, however, according to your own opinion, that the Ashram Toloi there with the Neisra is going to be buried, that disproves your halacha, and hence the Gzeir Shava, and you don't have any proof to say that chametz has to be burnt, and that you can't do bir chametz in any other way.